First Samuel chapter number 3. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we have the story of the Lord speaking to Samuel at night. He being not sure what it was, and coming to Eli, and Eli telling him that if the Lord speaks again to him, and we'll read those things just to listen and to do what he says. So 1 Samuel chapter number 3 in the Old Testament, then we'll be using another verse or two in, later in the different book. Let's begin reading verse number 1. I read this afternoon again and tried to find a good stopping point. So I believe the best place to stop is when we get through with the chapter. It has a few more verses than I normally read, but it gets a good overview of what we're dealing with. And so tonight in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, the Word of God reads, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel and said and answered, Here am I. He ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at this, as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which at which both the ears of every one that heareth, it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house when I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity that which he knoweth, because his son made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, and the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel, and Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And Samuel and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." We have here the passage that introduces to us the knowledge that Samuel is going to be a prophet. He is going to be a man that God would use in the nation of Israel. It's interesting to note as we read these verses how that the Lord dealt with Eli and how that he deals with Samuel. And Samuel, the scripture says here that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He did not understand all the things that was taking place. But yet the Lord was calling him. The Lord was dealing in his heart and speaking his name. And Samuel over and over again thought it was Eli that was calling. And he went to him time and time again. And of course, Eli, knowing that he did not call him, finally came to the understanding that if you hear the voice again, Samuel, then it is the Lord. And you just answer and let him deal with you, let him talk with you and say what he will. And the Bible tells us that Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now the revelation that God gives to Samuel is not a good revelation for Eli. Eli was the priest, but he had two sons that were very wicked. Eli knew what they were doing. It tells us back in chapter number 2, I believe it is, in verse number 12 on through verse 17, tells us about the evil sons of Eli. He knew their wickedness. He knew what they were doing, but yet he did nothing about it, and they were serving there in the temple. And because of that, the Scripture says here the Lord came to Samuel and told him, he said, "I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." You'll notice back in chapter 2, verse 12, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord." And so these two sons of the priest were wicked, ungodly, and they were yet serving, and now the Lord is calling Samuel. And he says, "Lord, here I am." You'll notice every time Samuel's name is mentioned, he says, "Here am I." And always ready and always willing to be used. And so tonight I want us to think about upon the subject just for a few minutes upon the person that God can use. The man that God uses, the person that He can use, and the different styles of people that have been given to us in the Scripture that He has used. Some of them have been most seemingly, as far as the personalities are concerned, are some of them are very inadequate. When you look at some of the personalities of the Old Testament, you'd say, how in the world could God use that individual? And we come to look at ourselves and we say, why would God use me? Or why would the Lord speak to me to do a specific thing? And so we find ourselves in the dilemma sometimes, as all of them, of the Scriptures as to why. And Samuel says, "Lord, here am I." And the Lord gives him this revelation, and he lays down until the morning. I believe verse 15 tells us that Samuel didn't sleep the rest of the night. He lays down until the morning, and it says that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he feared to show Eli the vision that God had given him, because God had given him a vision concerning the household of the priest Eli. And Samuel is fearful. As a young man, he's fearful to tell him what has been transpired and what God has told him. And so he tells us in verse number 10 that the Lord came and stood as he had at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then answered Samuel, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I'm glad that we can have that attitude toward the Lord and say, "God, speak to me. I'm your servant and I will hear you." And so tonight I want us to just for a few moments think about the individual, the person, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that God can use and God will use if they will say, "Thy servant heareth." You know, the Bible tells us that God used Moses in a tremendous way. Moses is that man that was used of God to lead the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and led them through the wilderness those 40 years. And Moses put up a strong defense against God using him because he pled that he was unable, that he just didn't have the ability to speak. His speech was slow, and his method of delivering of the talking was hampered in some way. And so Moses put up that defense of his inability to serve God. And you go on and read how that God did use him. God gave him Aaron, and God gave him one to speak for him, and then you don't hear much of Aaron saying much of anything else, because Moses is always speaking. He finds out he can do what God calls him to do. And by the way, on a side note, if God calls you to do something, you can do it. God will never call you to do something you cannot do. God knows our limits. God knows our abilities. God knows how far we can go and how much we can can accomplish, and so He'll never call us to do something that we cannot do. Now, it may be difficult, and it may be hard, and it may take a lot of effort and a lot of practice and a lot of work, but God uses us where we are, our ability. And so with no use of us saying that we are not able, as Moses did, because if God places you in a position, then God will give you and supply you the means to take care of what He wants you to do. I think of the man Gideon. He pleaded with the Lord about his inferiority. Turn over to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. In the book of Judges, chapter number 6, just a few pages back, from 1 Samuel, Judges chapter 6, and verse number 15. Here we find the Lord looked on him, had given Gideon some instruction, and in verse number 15 he says, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" How am I going to do what you've told me to do? How am I going to save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Here is Gideon speaking with the Lord. God has told him he's going to deliver them. And Gideon comes with the idea that he's poor, he has no means. And he says, of all my household, I'm the least. I'm the most insignificant. And he felt inferior to those around him. But God used Gideon in a tremendous way. And we know the story about Gideon and his army. You think of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah pleads his impurity. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man that's undone, a man of unclean lips and unclean heart." And so we find that Isaiah puts up this barrier that he cannot do what God wants him to do, and as all these other men have. And sometimes the same thing we do. "Lord, I'm not able to do that. God, I can't perform that. Lord, surely you don't mean me to do that." Isaiah pled his impurity, that he was a man of unclean lips. And Jeremiah pled that his life, his immaturity, was what would keep him from serving the Lord. And Jeremiah is the man that I want us to use tonight to show. You could use any of these men, and they could be developed into really a series of messages on the kind of person that God can use. But I want us to key in on tonight in the book of Jeremiah. This man that was used of God, and the message that God had given him, and how that the Lord would use him. And so it doesn't matter how rich or poor, doesn't matter who we are or where we find ourselves or what kind of family that we are coming from. I'm glad the Lord can use us as a redeemed person. Old things pass away, behold, all things new, and God can use us just exactly how He made us. And by the way, we do have the characteristics that God gives to us, and He supplies those things to us. And so Jeremiah, in chapter number 1, it says the word of the Lord came. And that's one of the tremendous passages all through the book of Jeremiah, is that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And we find that Jeremiah pleads that he is just like a child. He has no abilities. He's immature. Look at verse number 6 of Jeremiah chapter number 1. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He pled his immaturity. And sometimes we can be grown and have a lot of years behind us and still have immaturity. And here Jeremiah, he says, "Lord, I'm just like a child. I can't do. Lord, behold, I cannot speak." Because in these verses before, the Lord has told Jeremiah that he's going to be the spokesman for God in a nation that's very wicked and very ungodly. And Jeremiah is going to be the one that delivers the message of judgment upon the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah said, "I can't do that because I'm young and I'm immature." And he's going to be talking to the elders of Israel. He's going to be talking to those that are older. And he said, I cannot do that. I cannot speak. But you see, the Lord can use us, as I said earlier, if God has called us, if God gives us instruction. And now, And if God gives us a desire to do something, then we can do that. Now, the Lord doesn't come to us like He came to Samuel. We don't hear the voice of the Lord in the night as an audible voice. We don't hear the voice of God like Gideon and Isaiah and Jeremiah did. But we certainly know when God speaks to us. The Bible says there's a still small voice in our soul that we understand and we know. And somebody says, well, how do you know? Well, I just know. How do you know you've been called to preach? Well, I just know I have. There's nothing that you can write down and say, well, God gave me a sign, or God gave me a book, or God gave me a message from heaven. He didn't write it in the heavens. But we just have that small voice in our life and that impression that God gives to us that He has something for us to do. And by the way, being a preacher is not the only thing God calls us to do. Sometimes people think, well, the only people who are called are pastors and missionaries and preachers, but God gives us all a calling. God has something for every individual, and that calling is a high calling because it comes from the Lord, and we can become the person that God can use. Now, Jeremiah tonight, as we look in these verses of chapter 1, we'll find that his calling is different than mine or yours, or his calling is different than Moses. Moses was called there at the burning bush. God told him that he had a plan for him. As we read about Gideon and Isaiah, they had a different time and a different way and a different type of message. But Jeremiah comes, and we find in chapter 1 that God tells him some things about himself that he didn't recognize and he did not know. Now, the first three verses here tell us just some things of the history of concerning Jeremiah and the time in which he lived. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And so here we have the young boy that took over the kingdom and as a child. I think he was 7 or 8 years old when he became king. And now he's in his 13th year, and the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and speaks to him in the days of that. And you'll find that under Josiah there was a great time of revival in Judah, but Israel was a terrible, terrible condition, very ungodly. And God gave Jeremiah a message to tell to those around him, and he was the man that God could use. I want us to notice just 3 or 4 things about Jeremiah and how that God used him and why he could use him, and then see how God can use us. Now, in verse number 4 and verse number 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now this is Jeremiah doing the speaking and the writing, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, here we find there's a strange statement about Jeremiah. Now, I've heard people explain this, and then I've heard people try to explain it away. But I believe we just need to take what the Scripture says as it says it and believe what God says. He says to Jeremiah that he says, I'm just a child, and I'm unable to do this. But God says, yes, but Jeremiah, before you were ever born, I knew you. I'm glad we have a God that knows us before we were ever conceived in the womb, before God ever gave us life, before God gave us ability to come forth out of the womb. And God told Jeremiah, he says, I knew you. And he says in verse number 5, he says, I formed thee in the belly. Now here we find, you can go off to a lot of different avenues with this, that we know that that birth and having children and being a child, it all comes from the blessing and the work of the handiwork of God. We find that God tells him, he says, before I formed thee. Now, who's doing the forming there? Is it the evolutionary process? No, no, no. But God says, before I formed you, before you began, he said, in the belly, I knew thee. And then he said, I sanctified thee. And then he says, I ordained thee. This is before Jeremiah was ever born. Really, it's before he's ever thought of. And here we find that God is all knowledgeable and all knowing power. And Jeremiah puts up the defense, I'm a child. I can't do this. I'm not able. I cannot perform. But we find here that this message that God gave to Jeremiah was a very personal message. He said, I knew you. Aren't you glad God knows you? And God doesn't have to know your name before He knows you. God doesn't have to know your ideas. God doesn't have to know your flesh. God knows you before. And here we find, I've just put down here on number one here, I just used the word elected. That scares some Baptist people to death, but that's still a biblical term. And it's some people run from that. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to explain it away. I just want to believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And the Scripture says here that God says, before thou came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet to the nation of Israel. And the process of time, that took place, but God said, I know what's going to take place. God says, I've ordained it. I know what's going to happen. And here, it's a very personal time. And I put down here, it's prenatal. It's before he was ever born. And the Lord gave to Jeremiah the understanding that if I knew you before you was born, I know what you can do now. And if God knows us before our birth, surely He knows our limitations. He knows where we are, and He'll help us with those things. It's precise. It's particular. He says, Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a prophet unto the nations of Judah and Israel. God says to him, I'm going to make you a prophet. Now that sounds real illustrious, sounds important, sounds like something we might want to do. Well, read the life of Jeremiah, you might change your mind. God called him, ordained him, put him in that place as a prophet, and the people of Israel rejected him. They put him in the pit, they put him in prison, they plucked out his beard, they did all those things, they left him for dead. Just simply because God said, this is what I want you to do. Lord, here I am. Now, sometimes when we answer the call of the Lord and we say, here I am, we are thrilled of what God will do for us. But sometimes we don't understand that that calling sometimes has a price. Most times has some kind of price that we have to pay. So he was chosen of the Lord. Here's the person that God's using. Here's a person that God can magnifying, God can bless, and his name's Jeremiah. If you read much of the Scripture, you'll find that even in the New Testament, the Lord quoted some things from Jeremiah. So he's an important character of the Bible. But he was a man that was distressed because of the sin of his people, because of the anguish and because of the ungodliness, and now that he's having to give the message, and his first message that he gave was to a backsliding nation. It wasn't something he desired, wasn't something they wanted. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, more of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy spousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness and the land. And he goes on, and then he says, I also remember your iniquity, how you went away from me. And so Jeremiah is that one that is called of God, chosen of the Lord, elected of God to give a message to the nation of Israel that they did not desire. But he was the man that God could use. He was the individual that God could use. I wonder what God can use us in. I wonder what position or what place that God can use us in our walk of life. Whether we be middle-aged or older, or whether we be children and growing up, and or whether we be the graduates of this past Friday night, where will God use us, and how will God use us? Well, certainly He has the ability to put us and to place us in the positions that we can be greatly used of God. For through the preaching of Jeremiah, the people of Israel heard the truth of God. He had not only elected him, but he certainly had equipped him. He had given him the words. He had given him the wisdom. He had given him all the things that he needed to accomplish what the Lord had for him. He gave him the ability. He gave him the understanding of what was going to take place. And we read chapter after chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy and Jeremiah's proclaiming the message. He preaches to a backsliding people. He says, "For my people have committed two evils." Now, can you imagine the first message that the prophet of God comes to Jerusalem, and the first thing he says is found in verse number 13 of chapter 2. "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living water, and they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." That wasn't a well-received message. God said, "Jeremiah, here's the problem. Here's what you need to do." And so Jeremiah goes and said, "Well, you got two problems. You've forsaken the living water, and then you've gone out here and you've tried to build cisterns and try to hold your own water, and they're broken, they're cracked, and they can hold no water." Wasn't too well received. He wasn't the man of the year in his city, I'll guarantee you that. And so God has equipped him with words and with the wisdom and the wealth of knowledge to go to a land and to preach to them and to show them that they needed to repent. He says in verse 22 of chapter number 3, this is still that first message. He says, "Return, ye backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." He tells them to remember. He tells them to repent. He says, "Only acknowledge thy iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord," in verse 13. And then he says, just return back to God. And verse number 25, he says, "We lay down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us." And then he tells them, "You've sinned. Now repent." Jeremiah was a prophet of God that was able and equipped to preach the message that Israel needed. You know what's wrong in America tonight? There's not enough preaching on what America needs. I'm amazed at some of the things that go on in our churches. And I just see a little bit of it. I can't imagine some folks that travel back and forth from different church to church and what goes on and what's seen. But the reason that we are in the mess that we are in and the problems that we have, that there is no prophet. There is no preaching and there's no giving forth the command of God. And when we do, people look at you and they just turn a deaf ear to it. And sometimes that happens so much that all of a sudden the preacher begins to say, "Well, what's the use? I'll just draw my paycheck and go on." Well, he's an hireling that does that, the Scripture says. And so we are equipped of the Lord and should be. And the person that God will use, you can rest assured that God, you better make sure God's chosen you to do that. And then you can rest assured that He will equip you to do what He wants you to do, whatever it is. Verse number 9 of chapter 1, "The Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I will put my words in thy mouth." Now there's the key to the success of Jeremiah. Somebody said, "Well, it don't sound too successful to be put in a pit and have your beard plucked out." Well, success as far as man's concerned is a whole lot different than success of what God tells us about. And God tells Jeremiah, He said, "I'll put my words in thy mouth." So Jeremiah became a speaking prophet that literally had the word of the Lord in his heart and in his mouth, and he was empowered of God because he had the touch of the Lord. He says, "The Lord touched my mouth." Now, Jeremiah is not complaining that he's a child. Jeremiah is no longer saying, "I can't do it." Jeremiah is getting the empowerment from God that he can go out and do what God tells him to do. That he can go storm the cities of Israel and tell them, this is what God said, because he had an assuring touch of the Redeemer that this is what God had for his life. Well, I'm glad to be assured of the Lord. I'm glad to have knowledge of God. And if you don't do that, if you don't have that, you'll never make it, never last. I got a letter from a missionary not too long ago, and he said, "Well, the reason I went to the mission field is because there was a need. Didn't really have a call, so he comes home." If you don't have a call, you'll come home. There's a need everywhere. You can look anywhere on that map out there in the entrance and that big old globe we've got. You can look on every corner and every spot on that globe, and there's a need. But there better be a call to have that specific place in your heart. And so he, now Jeremiah, is empowered of God with an assuring touch that he is going to have the message that God has for him, because the Lord says, I will put my words in thy mouth. Well, that's a good message. That's reassuring to this man, Jeremiah. It's reassuring, and certainly it accompanies him and helps him in his ministry and in his work as a prophet of God. He knew that his message was a message of judgment. He says in verse number 10, See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Jeremiah had a big task before him. He is enlightened. God enlightens him. Here's your ministry. Jeremiah, before he started, knew how it was going to end. Before he ever got started, he knew what he's going to do. I'm glad the Lord doesn't do that to us today. If we knew what the end would be, we might not get there, seeing all the things in between. But just step by step, following the Lord. God calls people today into the ministry. God calls young folks into different areas of work and serving the Lord. And all of them are important, and God will equip us to do what He wants us to do. And we may not know the end of it, but we can take it step by step, trusting the Lord and knowing that He will help us. And certainly, that will encourage us. The encouragement of the Lord. And so we find here that Jeremiah is given the enlightenment as to what he will do. In verse number 18, we have the encouragement of God. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against you. God says, Jeremiah, they're going to fight against thee. But notice a little word there, but. In verse number 19, but they shall not prevail. Jeremiah, your message is to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant. Jeremiah, they're going to I've made you like a defensed city. You have my protection. And you're going to preach and speak against the kings of Judah, against the princes and the priests thereof and the people. You'll find that phrase all the way through. The princes and the priests and the people, they had turned their back upon God. And God says, Jeremiah, that's who you're going to. And they're going to fight against you. They're going to be against you. I'm glad that's not a period there. The latter part of that verse says, but they shall not prevail. They're going to fight, and they'll try to tear you down, but they're not going to prevail. Why? Because I'm with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And from that moment on, we could go from that point and read the story of the life of Jeremiah and find that he accomplished what God set out for him, had given him to do, how that the people were against him, how they fought against him very, very hard, how that some of his own family and different things were against him, but he prevailed because God was with him. Why was God with him? Because he said, I'll do my task. I'll do what God has for me. I'll do what God gives me to do. And every one of us tonight, it does not matter who we are in here in this building, from the oldest to the youngest, God has a purpose in our life. So many people say, I don't have a purpose. Oh, if they just get right with the Lord, they'd find they have a purpose. God has a purpose in everything that He does. There's a reason behind it. Whether it be a sorrow or a sickness, whether it be things that come upon us, God has a purpose in that. And as long as we know that we're right with the Lord and our hearts are clear before God, then we can understand that the Lord was with us and the Lord will help us and the Lord will guide us. Jeremiah, you have a task to do. The task is not easy. The task is not pleasant. And by the way, Jeremiah, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to want what you have to say. And they're going to fight against you. But just be assured, Jeremiah, they're not going to prevail because I'm with you. Boy, when you got the Lord with you, you've got it taken care of. In the New Testament, He says He'll never leave us, never forsake us. So everything we have before us, God can bless as we honor Him. I pray the Lord to help us to be people that God can use. Not just a preacher or a missionary, but an individual person. Whatever call that God puts upon our life, that God would put us in a position that we could be used of God and influence people for the things of the Lord. And I just sort of believe, as it was found in the life of Jeremiah, so it is with those of us. It's a personal, it's precise, all those things. God has chosen His people, chosen the way whereby we are to serve and honor Him, and it will prevail, and God will give the victory. Our Father, I pray tonight that You will bless Your Word. Thank You for it and all that You do. I pray that You'd help us to realize that we can be servants of the Lord. We can be those. We may have the inabilities. We may have the inferiorities. We may have the immaturity. Lord, whatever our device that we might use to say we can't, we know, God, that You can overrule that and show us that we can. Lord, I'm glad the Bible is a book of can-dos. I'm glad the book, the Bible gives us time and time again of how You provide and You prevail. So, Lord, I pray You'd help us as we walk through our time of life upon this earth. And may we be an individual that You can use for Your honor and Your glory to make an impression upon people toward the good and toward the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.